This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, paper or plastic? Well, there are some stores that are now thinking that neither is necessary in the bagging business. Also get a forecast for our area, a dry forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. It is not the case along the riverbanks in western Illinois. Dry is not the case. Authorities in Adams County say another levee has breached, and waters are threatening the western Illinois community of Meyer and surrounding farmland. Julie Shepard of the Adams County Emergency Management Agency says the levee breached early this morning and water's starting to rise. She says the town of Meyer has already been evacuated and authorities are patrolling this morning to make sure nobody is left behind. Massive sandbagging efforts are still underway elsewhere along the Mississippi. Adrian Hill is following the flooding and filed this report from Quincy, Illinois, near where that levee breached.
A lot of Quincy is elevated out of the floodwaters range, but a park that's typically along the Mississippi is currently under it, and the river isn't expected to crest here until Thursday night. Jeff Steinkamp is a city engineer. He says the city's water treatment plant is pretty well barricaded, and right now, Quincy volunteers are filling sandbags for other parts of the region.
They're here to give to other people, okay? I mean, that's Quincy, okay? And it's my hometown, lived here my whole life, and that's just the way people are to help other people. And they don't know where these sandbags are going, they don't know who they're helping, but they know they're helping somebody.
Steinkamp estimates volunteers have filled nearly 750,000 sandbags. I'm Adrian Hill.
A new set of emergency communication trailers is getting a workout during the flooding. The city of Champaign houses one of 9 trailers belonging to the Illinois Transportable Emergency Communication System. Deputy Fire Chief Eric Mitchell says 2 firefighters and an information technology specialist for the city took the trailer to western Illinois' Henderson County yesterday.
This is actually one of the first times that there's been multiple ITEX trailers deployed in the state at the same time. So it's actually a good call out for our resources.
Mitchell says the trailer includes satellite and computer technology, as well as equipment that helps command centers coordinate radio traffic among the wide array of emergency responders at the flood scene. Champaign firefighters will get wage increases of more than 3% a year under a new 3-year contract approved last night in the City Council. The first year's wage increase will come to firefighters in a lump sum because the first year of the contract is nearly over. The agreement begins retroactively because the previous contract expired last summer. Vice President of the Champaign Firefighters Local, Chuck Sullivan, says negotiations went smoothly, even though they lasted 17 months.
To be honest, neither side anticipated it lasting this long. But we want to thank, again, the city for their patience and their attempts to understand our issues. And I want to assure the council that during those 17 months, there was nothing but professionalism and respect on both sides.
Members of the International Association of Firefighters ratified the contract 2 weeks ago. Urbana's school board is sending a special committee back to the drawing board this summer to revise the restructuring plan for Urbana High School. It's a plan that's required under the No Child Left Behind Act. The State Board of Education says that plan that was submitted is missing a key component, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The restructuring plan submitted by the school board in April included programs for helping Urbana High School students do better in school, but had nothing about how the whole thing would be governed. The District 116 school board took out that part because some school board members opposed spending money on a new administrator to oversee the program. Now that the restructuring planning committee is revisiting the plan, 2 school board members who voted against the new administrative post will be joining them, Cope Cumston and Brenda Carter. Cumston says she still believes the post is not needed.
I believe that we could provide very specific governance with staff that are currently in place if they are given the administrative support to get the information they need to have in order to look at student achievement and decide which programs are working and which aren't.
School Board President Mark Netter asked Cumston and Carter to take his place on the committee. He favors the new administrative post himself, but says the input of 2 opponents of the idea could lead to a solution that wins school board consensus instead of the divided vote that produced the first restructuring plan. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Lawmakers from both parties are leaning on the Speaker of the Illinois House to take action on a $34 billion construction spending bill. They, along with labor leaders and Blagojevich administration officials, took their campaign yesterday to the steps of the University of Illinois' Lincoln Hall, which has been in line for state funding for restoration for more than a decade. Democrat Jay Hoffman of Collinsville has been Governor Blagojevich's point man in the House, but Speaker Michael Madigan has said he doesn't trust the governor to follow through on spending in the Capitol bill. Hoffman contends there are safeguards to ensure the spending happens as advertised.
There would be memorandums of understanding, there would be a lockbox, there would be limits on the bonding authority, and there are provisions in this bill to make sure that on a regional basis the money for transportation is adequately spread out throughout the entire state. All things the governor has willingly accepted.
The Capitol plan also has the approval of House Republicans. Representative Bill Black of Danville says it's not pork barrel spending, but a wise use of the people's money. But there's still differences in how to pay for that plan. Deere & Company is willing to bet a lot of money on the abilities of faculty and students at the U of I. Yesterday, it announced it'll spend $1 million to open the new John Deere Technology Innovation Center in Champaign. Spokesman Ken Golden says the company's done a lot of work with faculty and students at universities around the country, but this is probably the first time Deere will send employees to open such a center on campus. Golden says the new center will focus on research in advanced electronics, sensors, and control systems for Deere equipment.
They're technology-driven machines and a lot of electronics. And so this kind of work, this kind of effort in looking at how those electronics can be applied for our customers is really important to John Deere, and we think the University of Illinois benefits as well.
The new John Deere Technology Innovation Center will be at the University Research Park. It's scheduled to open next month. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. It's one of the eternal questions, paper or plastic? They're both recyclable, but only paper bags come from a renewable resource, and only 1% of all plastic bags on Earth are actually recycled. For the Environment Report, Lisa Ann Pinkerton tells us some cities and even one national company are now wondering why we need plastic bags at all.
Americans send around 100 billion plastic bags to landfills every year, where they're supposed to be compacted by bulldozers. That is, unless they catch the wind and transform into mini parachutes. Carmine Camillo is a spokesman for the national company Waste Management.
The tree lines and the fence lines can't be littered with bags until we get a chance to get out there and clean them up.
This happens so much around the world, it's picked up the name tree condoms. Besides that, they clog storm drains and eventually end up in waterways and oceans where fish mistake them for jellyfish. The solution, it would seem, is to recycle them. But shopper Mary Jo Wycliffe says that's too much of a hassle.
You unload your groceries and you go home and you throw them away. That's what I do with them.
Since Wycliffe shops at the organic market Whole Foods, she says she's been doing less of that because the chain recently bagged the plastic. Cleveland store manager Sherry Wiseman says to stop offering plastic bags is a decision that goes against Business School 101.
It costs us more money to buy our paper recyclable bags, but we feel that that expense is worth it to keep the plastics out.
Whole Foods paper bags are made from 100% recycled content. And shopper Bruce Kane says it's about time plastic went out of style.
I think China has fines for stores that use plastic, so I think it's a positive trend. I'm glad to see it coming to Whole Foods and coming to the United States.
The trendsetter in this country is San Francisco. It's the only city to successfully ban plastic bags. New York City, Annapolis, Maryland, New Haven, Connecticut, Santa Monica, and Portland are looking to shun plastic too. But the bruising the city of Oakland took might make them think twice. A plastics industry group called the Coalition to Support Plastic Bag Recycling sued Oakland over its ban and won. It claimed the city didn't do its homework on alternatives such as compostable plastic bags or a recycling program. Sharon Canese is a spokeswoman for the plastics industry at the American Chemistry Council.
We certainly hope that the city of Oakland will work with the state of California on recycling because it doesn't belong in the roadways, it belongs in the recycling bin.
Plastic bags are made from petroleum and natural gas, but Kinese says their manufacture and transport uses 70% less energy and produces half the carbon dioxide that making paper bags does. But for some, choosing between paper and plastic isn't enough. A few people are starting to shop with reusable cloth bags. Some stores sell them for about a dollar, and Walmart recently gave away 1 million free to its customers. But the concept of bringing their own bags to the store is still foreign to some Walmart shoppers.
It really doesn't matter to me, but I'm going to need a bigger bag than this.
It's easier to just throw these out and come back to the store with nothing in their hands.
Well, it's just becoming popular, so I'll start to.
Whether it's paper, plastic, or cloth, each can be environmentally friendly if consumers go to the extra effort. But if people keep throwing them away, local governments might attempt to reduce plastic bag use. A move the plastics industry will certainly contest. For the Environment Report, I'm Lisa Ann Pinkerton.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says while they're fighting the flooding in western Illinois, we won't see any rain to speak of to amount to any additional flooding hazards there or anywhere, at least for the next few days. The forecast for today, mostly sunny with a chance of a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms popping up in the late afternoon and evening. Not much of a chance, though. Ed says highs will range from 68 in northeast Indiana to 83 in southern Illinois. In Champaign-Urbana, the high 78. A few isolated showers and thunderstorms are possible tonight in central and southern sections before midnight, but otherwise clear to partly cloudy and lows in the 50s, low in Champaign-Urbana 56. For tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms again arriving in west central and southern Illinois and far southwest Indiana, but elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny for tomorrow. The highs from 72 near Lake Michigan to 82 in the south, 80 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 57. Sunshine again for Friday with a high of 81 degrees, with a chance again of a few showers and thunderstorms by Saturday afternoon. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.